Now stay tuned for Straight Talk, the show where social justice meets criminal law. Brought to you on WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, by Tucker Griffin Barnes. Now here's your host, Andre Hayes.
Good morning, Charlottesville. You are listening to Straight Talk on WPVC-FM, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Straight Talk is a series of interviews and conversations about legal and social justice issues affecting our community. I am your host, Andre Hakes. On today's show, I will be talking with Nancy Carpenter, a Charlottesville citizen, community advocate on poverty and homelessness issues, and a frequent flyer at Charlottesville City Council meetings. And we will be talking about controversial changes to the public comment procedures in the Charlottesville City Council. This morning, I am also going to have a special guest, Mary Carey, who is a lifelong city resident, and a community advocate as well, who's had a few personal experiences with city council lately. So let me start with you, Nancy. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you for being here today. Tell me a little bit about yourself and about how you ended up going to so many city council meetings.
I don't know why I go to so many city council meetings, but I started going because I felt that there was a need to make sure that city council gets information in regards to homelessness issues, which are near and dear to my heart, and then as well as information about other parts of marginalized communities. And so I just made the decision to go and start using public comment as a way of doing that, to have a more direct experience with talking to my elected officials. And so I, you know, tend to go, I don't know, probably at least one meeting per month on average, I guess, the last 3 to 4 years.
Wow. Okay. So 3 or 4 years you've been going.
Yes.
And in the 3 or 4 years you have been going to city council meetings with some regularity, what kinds of things have you heard people talking about in the public comment? I mean, I know you're talking about homelessness issues. That's kind of your thing. But can you give us sort of a sampling of what kind of issues come up?
Oh, sure. There's a lot of environmental issues come up. There's quite a bit of comment during the time, discussion Parks and Rec about what type of pesticides to use or not use when it comes to parks and schools that are used by our children.
Mm-hmm.
There have been issues of people coming into the community recently. There have been always issues about expenditures of money on various types of things the city wants to use for which there's no public hearing, or they're just making a decision by resolution, then your public comment period is the only time that you really have to verbally voice, you know, your ideas on those particular issues.
I have been to a few city council meetings in the, I don't know, it's roughly 20 years I've lived in and around the city of Charlottesville. And I remember going once when there was an issue raised about Club 216. There was some issue about the local gay bar that existed at the time, and going and speaking to city council. And I remember taking advantage of that public comment period and how very much I enjoyed doing it. And it was a really nice opportunity. I also remember seeing the cycling community come out when there were issues over bike lanes, when they were, there was a sort of an iced tea funding issue, and people would, it was a transportation bill that basically said, if you do certain things to existing roads, you have to add bike lanes. And so that's part of why we have so many good bike lanes in and around Charlottesville. I mean, I shouldn't say it's not like the system's perfect or we've got them everywhere, but we have a lot more than some communities. So those are some of the things I have seen people talking about at the public comment period. So, you know, my recollection of how this worked is, you know, you would get there and people would be sort of milling about, saying hello to each other. And there was a legal pad somewhere where you'd write your name down. Right. And,
exactly.
And then you'd just get called when it was your turn. You'd get, you know, a few minutes to say something and then sit down. But I remember it seemed like the city councilors would sort of respond to you, too. You know, it was almost a little bit of an exchange of ideas. Maybe they'd ask a question or two and, you know, something to that effect. And that's how I remember it going. What have you seen? Tell me what you've seen.
That was what I think I felt was the most important part of the whole experience, was knowing that it was an issue that perhaps a city councilor would verbalize, or several would verbalize, that they should maybe take a look at, and not just what I would say, but anybody, but they would take a look at something or have a work session about something. And like you said, I think from some of those public comments have evolved other types of public policies, especially maybe with the bike ped and those kinds of things, parks and rec, you know, the expansion of our park system or the use of pesticides. So I think when you find out that there is some simpatico with from a counselor, you're more apt, I think, to want to continue with your advocacy.
Well, a little bit of feedback makes you feel like you're not just talking to a wall.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to talk to, I mean, if you want to talk to a wall, you don't have to go downtown to do that. You can certainly do that at home.
So the reason we're covering this topic today is because there have been some changes in the way the public comment periods are now being handled in this latest city council. Can you tell me a little bit, first specifically tell me kind of what, historically, what has evolved? How did these changes come to happen and when?
Well, historically, you know, like you said, they had a sign-up sheet and people would go prior to the council meeting and very patiently wait till the sign-up sheet was there and then sign up to do their 3 minutes of public comment. And it was all done very nicely. I mean, if there were somebody that needed to sit down while they were waiting for the, you know, sheet, we were all very polite. We'd say, you know, you're in front of me or there. Mm-hmm. So it was done, you know, kind of like that, kind of democratically, you know, nobody was trying to step on toes. And so I don't know what happened, or why at this past election cycle, but there is a new administration that wants to have a more parliamentarian view, I think, on the procedure, and now you have to, they have an extra added layer of, if you want to participate in public comment, you have to either go online and submit your name to some type of random lottery, or apparently you can still call the clerk of the council prior to 9 o'clock on Monday, the day of the meeting, and ask to be put into the lottery, which is something, you know, that's new.
So there's no more sign-up sheet.
Well, they on September 16th, when they adopted these new procedures, they did kind of amend it a little bit. They allowed for 9 slots to be filled through the lottery and allowed for 3 slots to be open for random sign-up prior to the meeting.
Now, you said on September 16th, when they adopted these new procedures, did they not make some changes before September 16th?
They had 12. One of the things that I noticed was that in prior makeup of the council, if there were 12 slots and seemed to have been the magic number for a long time, that if 12 people had not signed up, whoever was mayor at the time would open it up to the audience to see if there were other people that may have come in late and thought that there were no more slots available, so they would open it up to someone to come up until they got their 12.
Right.
12 was the cut. They wouldn't go over 12. What they did from about February until September, if they only had 6 people signed up or if they only had 7 people signed up, that was it. There was no option to have those 12 slots filled. And, you know, I think that if you have 12 slots, you should have 12 people coming up and making comment if they're in the audience and, you know, want to do that. Maybe they didn't didn't have time to do the lottery. Maybe they don't have computer access. Maybe they don't know how. They have language barriers, you know, all kinds of things like that. So that was, you know,
these things started happening in February.
That's when they started talking. That's when they started their 6-month trial period. I believe in January they talked about it. But this was this evolved through a work session, which was not a public meeting, no public comment during that work session. And I believe there was only one citizen that actually attended that particular work session.
Well, what do you mean a work session? Explain to me what that is.
Well, a work session is an open meeting, and sometimes there's public comment and sometimes there's not, depending on the topic that's being discussed. And that's what it is. You're sitting around with an idea and you're hashing it out to kind of come to consensus on how you think the process ought to be or what should happen on this particular issue before you bring it forward to, you know, city council, either a public hearing or a resolution.
Where was this work session and when was it?
That I would have to say I'm not really sure, but most work sessions, I think, occur somewhere in City Hall. Probably I would imagine there's some type of conference room on the second floor.
Yeah, is there notice given when you're going to have a work session? Do people know that it's coming? And
well, it should be public, but sometimes to find public notices of these types of meetings can be difficult because it doesn't seem to be one particular calendar or location that really identifies, at least in my experience. I'm just going to speak for me, but at least in my experience.
You haven't found it.
I haven't found it, yeah.
What about, is there a, are there minutes of the work session? I mean, is there somebody taking notes of who said what? And
That's a good question.
Know?
I've never heard anybody allude to, you know, actually recorded minutes.
Okay. So we had a, there was a meeting of city council that was not a regularly scheduled meeting, not at a regularly scheduled time. And at this meeting, there was only one person who wasn't on city council who was present.
Correct.
And who was that person?
I'm not really sure.
Okay. So this person who was there, did they let anybody know this issue was happening? How did they know to be there? Do you have any idea?
Perhaps they found out when the work session was. They found that magic key.
Okay, so this work session happens, and out of this work session comes a proposal for new rules for public comment.
It's not only that, but it's the whole method of how council discusses things, how they discuss it, who can discuss it, what's deemed appropriate language, what's not, who has the power to decide it. It's
all of these things came out of that work session.
Mm-hmm.
At which there was one person.
And some of these are definitely differences from what they had previously done for public comment.
Okay. And this was in January sometime.
Yes.
Now, minutes of city council meetings can be found on the internet. If you go, because I found some of them in prep for this show and posted them, you can go and you can find, you know, sort of shorthand, you know, Mr. Jones stood up and said this, Mr. Smith stood up and said this, you know, and so on. But I don't remember, I didn't see anything in January, and I looked at the January minutes regarding this work session.
No, I think there was one reading, I believe, one of one in reference to talking about this pilot, and that was pretty much all that there was about. I mean, I was surprised to see it come forward. I tried to get as much information.
Is there a document that lays out what, you know, what the difference is between the old rules and the new rules? Is there a document somewhere that says here are the rules? And I know on City Council's website there's a page or a link that you can click on that says, you know, you need to sign up, you know, online and, you know, but some of the other things you're talking about, you're saying it's bigger than that. It's the way the meetings are run.
It's all on that website link about city council. What do they call it? City council public speaking protocol or something like that. And it talks about who does what and how this is determined and when, you know, there should be interruptions in the broadcast on their, you know, Channel 10 and things like that. So it encompasses all that.
Well, let's talk about Channel 10. What's that about? Tell me about the broadcast.
Well, Channel 10 is their in-house live stream of various meetings, like the Planning Commission, your Housing Authority, your Architectural Review Board, your City Council.
This is public access TV,
public
basically.
Public access TV, absolutely.
And if you were, for example, to be enough of an egghead to actually want to watch the City Council meeting but not go there, you could sit in the comfort of your living room and if you had a TV and watch public access TV and see what was happening at the meeting.
Or you can live stream it, you know, if you can live stream on your your laptop.
So there are cameras in the city council chamber. And if people would stand up and make a public comment, they would be on those cameras.
Exactly.
And anybody who wanted to watch that would be able to do so and see what they had said and then see what the reaction was.
Right.
And you mentioned something about interruptions of the broadcast. What's going on?
Well, it seems like and this is anecdotal. I don't have hard data to back it up, but it seems like there has been interruption, which the mayor has had that option, I guess, for quite a while. To if there's a disruption in the meeting, if someone is creating a disruption, he or she can click a button and it actually interrupts the live feed.
Are you saying the mayor has a cutoff switch for the for the
TV?
That's what you're saying?
That's
really?
What I understand. He has the ability to do that. And
how long has that been the case?
I think it's been the case for a number of years. I don't think it's actually been used in any type of disruption.
Right.
There may have been a time this spring, there seems to be some question as to whether a live feed was disrupted in reference to people that were deemed being unruly and not following the rules that they considered to turn it off. And I think that would be wrong because you want someone to, I mean, it's your right to know what is going on in your city government, and that includes disruptive activity. You have to see it all, in my way of thinking, in order to form an opinion.
So if you were able to get physically down to the city council and watch this meeting, mm-hmm. nobody could disrupt your live feed from your eyeballs what was happening. But
right.
if you were sitting in your living room because maybe you didn't have transportation, or maybe like me, it was, you know, cold and wet out and you mm-hmm. were too lazy to actually go down there, then you would perhaps be prevented from seeing what was happening.
Right. Your view could be skewed a little bit.
Wow. And so this has actually begun happening?
There's some rumor that it has. I've not myself been able to pin that down.
Are these live feeds, are they recorded anywhere? Are the city council sort of videos of the meetings?
They are on the city website. They do have an archive of videos, but it's only going to be the archive of what was broadcast.
Right.
So something's been interrupted.
So if you wanted to know if anything had been interrupted, I suppose you could go look at the archive and see if there's a break in the recording.
Could try, see if you can determine if there, you know, is a break, right.
Do you have any idea which meetings we're talking about that there's rumored to have been disrupted? Don't know?
I don't know. I feel like it may have had something to do perhaps with some, you know, recent object. Perhaps during the discussion on regarding Mr. and Mrs. Khan, who the local couple who have been very prominent in this recent election cycle, and that there were individuals, I believe, that were speaking negatively.
I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask another person about that in a minute.
Okay.
In any event, I think that's an interesting problem that we have. If indeed that's happening. And it sounds like it needs a little further research. Maybe it isn't happening. Maybe it's just been a rumor.
Well, I mean, there's also the Human Rights Commission mm-hmm. came down on the 16th. I'm part of that. I'm not speaking for them. But
on the 16th of what?
Of September.
Okay.
When they had the public hearing, and they had six people speak at the public hearing.
Wait, what public hearing?
It was the public hearing when they decided whether they were going to finally adopt these protocols on how to handle your public meeting
mm-hmm.
for city council. And they had a representative, Ms. Lewis, came from the Human Rights Commission and mm-hmm. was identifying some concerns that we had about that, about these new procedures, because that's part of what the Human Rights Commission does, is to look at city policy
mm-hmm.
to see if it adversely affects any of the eight protected classes. And we were, you know, concerned about, could there be racial and gender disparities? Was there going to be accommodation made for people with language barriers? Mm-hmm. Could there be any discrimination due to age or disability, which includes hearing impairment and blindness? You know, transportation issues, like if you're on the lottery and you don't make it down there in time when your name is called, then mm-hmm. You're done. Your time is spot is just gone. That we felt like if you have a transportation issue,
mm-hmm.
you should be able to come in later, you know, and have your 3 minutes, because the 3 minutes is there. 12 is 12, you know.
Right.
There was also concerned about the lack of access. I think I mentioned that before. Lack of access or knowledge about, you know, computers to do the online. So.
You mean in order to sign up?
In order to sign up, yes. And so, you know, those.
Which can also be done by phone.
Could be done by phone. But if you have a disability, I mean, they do have an ADA person, you know, on their staff, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they're not in that day. Maybe, you know, they're off. So.
So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back in a second with Straight Talk. So, moving back into this topic, Nancy, you were saying that there had been some disruptions, and you mentioned the conversation about the cons and that there was someone who was disruptive in that instance.
Yes, yes, I was.
And had there been some subsequent disruptions? What has happened since these new procedures are being implemented?
Well, I think that there was about 3 weeks ago now, I think it was the first meeting this month, there was some public comment, and the mayor, you know, made some decisions, which I don't agree with, but made some decisions which resulted, you know, in someone being, you know, asked to leave.
Now, would that someone be Mary Carey?
I think it would.
Miss Carey! Welcome to Straight Talk.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on the show this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit, just sort of as background, about you and about what you were doing at that city council meeting.
Well, I was kind of active in instrumenting the crisis at Crescent Halls.
Okay.
This summer.
And now, talking about the we did a show on that with Joy Johnson. It
yes.
was about the air conditioning units,
right,
and the conditions over there. Mm-hmm. And you were involved with that.
Well, actually, the residents were calling me, and I have a resident relative that lives there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She called me. They called me and asked me if I could help them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they seemed to have called everybody, and everybody was putting them off or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I went on Facebook, which is like a connection,
mm-hmm,
and I asked the people on Facebook to pray for the people at Crescent Halls and see what they could do to give them some relief down there. This was on a Thursday.
Right.
So that Friday, I did it again because I knew I was going out of town that Saturday, and the process got started,
mm-hmm,
and the people got, the citizens in Charlottesville, they were just tremendous. They started sending in fans and water and everything, you
mm-hmm
know, trying to help the people to relieve themselves. And I couldn't believe it when I got back to town that Sunday. I had over 109 messages,
mm-hmm,
asking me what could they do and all. But the night that I went to city council meeting to thank the public for what they did to help these people, because housing, Mr. Duffield and Brandon Collins at FAR had gotten the air condition working again.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to let the people know that, you know, the residents are grateful.
Mm-hmm.
And some kind of way, a lady came in that hadn't been living in Crescent Hall since 2010, decided that she wanted to start saying that there wasn't anything wrong down there, which
mm-hmm
she didn't know at 6 years. And I wasn't going to actually speak on that, but I got up there, and it kind of got to me, and I just let loose. And I was telling the council, which I know they weren't going to respond. I didn't think they were going to respond the way they did. But I just told them that Charlottesville, actually, the people in Charlottesville were great to come to the aid. They actually love to donate. You ask for donations, they'll donate.
Charlottesville is a generous community.
It should be. All these millionaires around here. These stingy millionaires, but they'll give to people who are less fortunate most of the time if it's not that much. But they were wonderful. And that night, it just seemed like everything was going pretty good. And I didn't know anything about protests or police officers or anything. I didn't know anything about that when I went to the meeting. But I heard all this stuff from this lady
mm-hmm
that hardly ever even go to the grocery store, and she's a city council spitting out stuff negative about Crescent Halls, and it set me off because I have a soft spot for Crescent
Halls.
Now,
just to be clear, what you're talking about is somebody came in who had lived in Crescent Halls years before, but
years
didn't
ago.
Live there now.
No.
And they were saying there really aren't any problems at Crescent Halls.
Exactly.
And you disagreed with her.
Yes.
And so when you say you went off, what do you mean?
It's kind of like, it's like this lady was set up.
Mm-hmm.
To come in and do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like the council, you could see the faces of the council, they were eating it up when she was talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went up and I just told them that Charlottesville is a he say, a she say city.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever says it first, that's where the truth is,
mm-hmm.
which is not always the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said that Charlottesville, the city of Charlottesville, wasn't worth a poop.
Although that probably wasn't the word you used.
Oh, no.
But
no,
in deference to the SEC on my radio show, you're going to use that word.
It slipped out in city council, but, you know, in a way, you know, sometimes, you know, things do slip out. It just happened to slip out that night. And as I was walking back to my seat, the appointed mayor said, oh, no, she can't say that in here. So the children are watching, and I said, well, the children need to hear certain things. Oh, she's going to keep on talking. Would y'all please escort her out of here?
So you had finished what you were saying.
I was sitting in my seat.
You used a word,
yeah,
which was perhaps not appropriate for radio broadcast, and in the opinion of the mayor, not appropriate for the city council. And you were done. You were walking back to your seat when he says, you know, you can't say that in here because there are kids watching. Mm-hmm. And you said, well, there are things they need to hear. Is that sort of what happened?
Yes, and as I sat down in my seat,
uh-huh.
he said, well, she's going to keep on talking.
Uh-huh.
Would you escort her out of here?
So the mayor, and here we're talking about Mike Signer.
Exactly.
Says, would you escort her out of here? Who did he say that to?
The deputy in the back.
Okay, so yeah. There was a deputy there.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
He came over and he said, you got to go. I
uh-huh.
said, I'm not going anywhere.
Uh-huh.
He said, well, the mayor said, you got to go. I said, well, I can't help that. I'm not leaving.
Right.
Then two plainclothes black police officers got up and came and said, Miss Curry, please leave. I said, I'm not leaving. What did I do?
Uh-huh.
The mayor said, you have to leave. Why?
Uh-huh.
No one said why.
Right.
I don't know if he cut the sound off or what he did.
Uh-huh.
But
when you say he, you mean the mayor.
I can't say mayor because I didn't vote for him.
Well, I didn't vote for the president a lot of times, but he's still the president.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I'm hoping that's not going to happen this go-round.
I'd like for you to say Obama, but I'm not going to say Mayor Signer because I don't look at him that way. I look at him as Signer. But anyway, he's the one who told the police officers to escort me out.
All right.
And the two black plainclothes policemen, Officer Tito's, Miss Curry, I know him for years, and he said, please, Miss Curry, please. I said, why?
Mm-hmm.
What did I do?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, we don't want any trouble and all that. So I said, okay, I'm leaving. I'm mm-hmm. getting up. I'm leaving. I'm going. And I saw Mike Murphy coming down the hall at the time, in like he was in a marathon. I guess he was running towards us because somebody said they had cut off.
Who's Mike Murphy?
He's assistant city manager.
Okay. Who told you that they had cut
someone
off?
My son had called me and said, Mom, they cut off the city council. The screen went black.
Okay. Oh, my.
So evidently, he had the mayor signal. He had pushed his little button.
We don't know that, but we're assuming
that. Well, somebody did it.
That's what happened.
Yeah, because somebody did
it. It would have been an awfully convenient moment for a technical failure, huh?
Okay, all right. Because I don't think if 29 News and Newsplex, there was a lady in there that videotaped the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she sent me a copy of it through Facebook, and I put it on Facebook.
So if I look at your Facebook page, can I find the video of
the
city council meeting where this happened?
Exactly. You can find the whole thing. You can find the speaking, the
talking,
the everything.
Would you send that to me?
I'll try.
See if you can send me a link or
I'm
something.
I'm not computer savvy, but I can try. But I think you can get it through, I don't know how you can.
Well, certainly we can get it if we look at your Facebook page.
Yeah, you can get that part. You can only get up until where it went blacked out on the TV.
But there was a lady in there, you said, who had a cell phone or something.
She did
it
on her cell phone.
And can I get that video? That's what I'm asking.
This is the one I put on Facebook.
Okay, and that's after it blacked out. She's covering
it. She's still doing it.
Right, okay.
She's doing the whole thing.
So I can see more than where it blacked out.
You can hear me saying, the children needs to know things. And you can hear him saying, oh, she's not going to stop talking. Escort her out of here. You can hear the mayor saying that.
Okay. So these two officers who are plainclothes come up and they say, you know, please, and Tito's one of them, and you're like, why? And then you're like, fine, okay, I'm leaving. So, and then you said you saw Mike Murphy running.
He was
Tell
coming
me what
down
happened.
The hall as I was going out of the chambers, but I didn't say anything to him.
Now, we thinking Mike Murphy was coming because the feed quit and he was going to see why?
Probably. Okay. Probably. I would assume that.
All right.
I don't know exactly. But it was another incident, if I can say this.
Yeah, as long as you don't say any words the FCC is going to be mad at me about. You can say whatever you want.
My son always say, Mom, be careful what you say. But they were honoring Mr. and Mrs. Khan.
Yes.
And they were giving him a certificate and all.
This wasn't that same night, was it?
No, it was the night it was a couple weeks before. And
okay, I want to get to the cons, but before you go there,
I
wanted to get finish the whole story on this night.
Okay.
So tell me, I mean, after you saw Mike Murphy coming, I mean, what happened? Did you just leave? Did you just walk out? Is that the end of that story?
I just walked out.
Okay.
Nobody handled me.
Right.
Nobody touched me.
Okay.
Or anything like that. I just went on out because, you know, if I had stayed in there, they probably would have arrested me. So I just got up and left out, you know.
What would you have been arrested for?
I have no idea. Because
disorderly conduct, maybe?
I think the city council is disorderly. But sometimes they got to understand that people get frustrated at those city council meetings, especially now that this new council is there. You can get up there and you can talk and say your problems and tell what's going on in your community and things that they want the city council's feedback on. And they just sit there like a bump on a log. And this is frustrating.
So you're saying that now they don't respond.
They don't respond. And I know for a fact those counselors want to respond, especially Kristen Sakos and Bob Fenwick. They do want to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And
are they not allowed to now?
I don't know. They censored Bob.
What do you mean
Bob
they censored
don't
Bob?
Agree with what they
Whoa,
say.
What do you mean they censored him?
They censored him right after they started this lottery thing. Because he don't agree with everything they say. And Mayor Signer said, when he first got into office and some kind of way got to be the mayor, we don't know how he even got to be on council, but anyway, that's another story. But
well, he got voted onto council, didn't he?
I have no idea. But anyway.
Okay.
He censured Bob because Bob will disagree. And he said one council, one vote. So that's telling you that everybody has to vote the same way. That's not democracy.
He wanted a unanimous city council vote on everything.
On everything, especially if he's the one. See, he said he's the one conducting the meetings. But see, he's a swing vote. He got to understand that.
Right.
But
who's a swing vote?
The mayor.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
I think that if two other counselors, four counselors, if two saying no and two saying yes, he comes in and decides which way to go.
He's a tiebreaker.
Whatever.
But doesn't he get a regular vote in any regular issue? I mean, he's still a city councilor.
Well, yeah, he does. But I think most of the time it doesn't go the way of the people.
Okay. You think he doesn't represent the interests of the community?
Not at all.
I understand what you're saying. But you said that they censored Bob Fenwick, and I want to know what you mean by they censored him.
I think, from what I understand, it's a way that he can't do a lot of talking or whatever, or give the feedback that they want to hear.
Okay.
And Bob is a champion on that council,
mm-hmm.
and the people in the city of Charlottesville really, really respect him more so.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a person that speaks wholeheartedly for the people.
Are you saying that the city council told Bob Fenwick he can't make statements in city council meetings, out of city council meetings?
I don't know what
they just guessing.
I don't know what they told him. But this is the word that the community has that Bob had been censored.
Okay. All right. So you
sanctioned. I mean sanctioned.
You mentioned the cons and the meeting in which the cons were discussed.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me roughly when that was? And Nancy, I'm gonna ask you to get on this too if you have some information about it.
I don't know the date of it,
mm-hmm.
but I know that it was just before the air conditions and everything got fixed at Crescent Halls,
mm-hmm.
Which the president of the resident association came down and spoke that night. Mr. Bellamy kept talking about when he was young and how he used to cut the crust off the moldy bread,
mm-hmm.
and he said that about 20 times every speech he makes, and it was getting on my nerves. So I said, Mr. Bellamy, stop saying that, because you say it all the time. Nobody in housing cuts mold off bread to make no cheese sandwich. And I kept saying that, and he just kept saying it over and over.
Are you saying you're in the middle of this meeting and you and Wes Bellamy are talking over each other in the middle of the meeting?
Well, the cons had been presented the award.
And what did the cons have to do with the moldy bread?
That was the night that this happened.
Okay.
I'm trying to tell you.
All right.
The night that they asked me and Miss JoJo Robinson to leave council, that was the night that the city council was honoring Mr. and Mrs. Klein.
Wait. The night they asked you and JoJo Robertson to leave council, is that a different night than the night you just told me about?
Yes.
So how many times have you been thrown out of city council?
I've been asked to leave twice, but I walked out both times.
Okay. So tell me, when was this first night? You know, are we talking, how long before?
It was in August.
Okay. All right. So maybe a month before the one you just talked about.
Right.
All right. So now I've got a little bit more framework.
Okay.
Tell me a little more about what happened there.
Well, like I say, Mr. and Mrs. Khan had been presented the award. They had left.
Mm-hmm.
And then they wanted to say, some of the counselors wanted to say some things.
Mm-hmm.
So all the people had, you know, responded and everything about what was going on, and Mr. Bellamy do this speech every time. I don't understand why he keeps saying it. But he just made me angry, I've heard it so many times, and it's misleading because I'm from poverty. I'm not from poverty, but I was poor. We ate three meals a day. We were clean, but we didn't have any money or anything like that. We got by. But my mother see mold on bread. That piece of bread got to go. It don't get cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And that was years ago. Today, the way these mothers are now about the food and stuff, they would throw the whole loaf away.
Mm-hmm.
So I just got tired of hearing him say this about cutting mold off bread and all this kind of stuff, that he been through this and he know how people live. And people in Crescent Halls don't live like that.
All right.
Some people may not have what everybody else has.
All right, now I have a confession to make. If I have a loaf of really good bread,
mm-hmm.
and it gets some mold on the end,
mm-hmm.
I might throw a couple of the end pieces away. Keep the rest of the bread.
You wouldn't cut it. Well, send it to Mr. Bellamy.
You know, I mean, I might do that. It's been known to happen. Well, it's known to happen. Yeah. I probably wouldn't cut it off that particular piece, but I might chuck a few of the end slices and, you know.
With the price of bread today, sometime you may have to cut the bowl off. But, I mean, I'm like this. I am not cutting. I'm not going to cut no mole off no bread.
All right, so you and Wes Bellamy disagreed about the moldy bread.
And he kept on saying, excuse me, Miss Carrie. And I was saying, okay, well, stop saying that. So I got quiet for a while. So I saw Mr. Signer, the mayor, pointing to the deputy in the back. Oh, well, the police officer. I don't know why I call him deputy. But he pointed to him to come down and say something to us. And he came down, and he was saying, you got to be quiet.
What? Who came down and said you got to be quiet?
The police officer.
Okay.
I said, okay, but tell him stop saying that. And he said, but you got to be quiet. I said, okay. So he walked back up. And then he said, Mr. Bellamy said, well, I know poverty, and I know this and that. I said, would you please stop saying that? And I said it twice. And he came back down and he said, well, you're going to have to leave.
So is what happened, you disagreed with what Mr. Bellamy was saying, so you just kind of spoke up in the middle of his talking.
I think that's what they were trying to say, that I was outbursting.
You were disruptive.
Of course.
Okay.
It's the tiny little egos that I was affecting.
All right,
it had
nothing
to do with
me. I mean, do you think there might be some credence to the idea that we should have an order, you know, and that, you know, you get your chance to speak and then he gets his chance to speak? And
yeah, well, it should be that way, but sometimes they outspoken in a negative way.
Sometimes people lose their cool on something like that, for example. Okay, all right. So you were told to leave, and then what happened?
Some of the things that Mr. Jones started talking at that same meeting kind of upset the people from Crescent Halls about housing, how they doing the best they can and all like that,
mm-hmm.
which the people kind of got a little rowdy, and mm-hmm. they were saying, oh no, that's wrong. They're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that night somebody, I can't say the mayor did it,
mm-hmm.
but somebody clicked off the screen that night also. The screen went black that night too.
So you're saying now there are two different city council meetings,
yeah.
at which there was a failure, intentional or otherwise, of the public TV coverage.
Exactly.
Okay. So let's go back to that night. You get asked to leave because you've interrupted Wes for the second time after you've been warned about the moldy bread poverty stuff. and so the deputies come over and say, you got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Do you go?
No. When they kept talking negative about things that were going on at Crescent Halls, I decided to get up and leave then.
So they said you got to go and you didn't go?
No, I didn't go because I hadn't done anything.
So then what? What'd they do? Just say, okay, well, never mind. We told you got to leave, but you never mind. You just keep sitting there? They just walk away?
Well, I did. But then when the people in the audience from Crescent Halls got kind of loud,
mm-hmm.
I said, I'm getting out of here. So I got up. When I got up, they got up.
Okay.
And we all left.
So there was a group exodus
exactly.
from the meeting.
Well, we weren't all sitting together. We were sprinkled out in the chamber, but we got up and left.
All right.
And then when I got home, people were asking me what happened. The screen went black.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I was in city council. I don't know why it went black. Why did it go black? Because somebody, I'm not saying who did it, but somebody...
cut the video feed to the city council meeting while they threw you out, and the rest of the folks that were there
with
that group sort of walked out with you?
Yeah, they walked out. Yeah,
wow.
We got up.
How many people do you think were there that walked out with you?
25.
25 people walked out of city council, and the feed was cut so nobody could see it?
Nobody saw it. And see, things like this happen because, I mean, everything can be hunky-dory all the time. And politics is a nasty business. And if you can't accept
Amen.
It and deal with it, get out of it, the way I look at it. And if you can't deal with the public by, we vote these people in to get their opinions on what we think is wrong with the city. If they can't respond to us when we come to them, what good are they?
Well, you know, I definitely see your point. I think cutting off the video feed is ridiculous. But let me say this, you know, I do believe in some order.
Yeah.
And so you and I, you know, we're sitting here with Nancy, and we're having a very polite conversation, and we're being polite with each other, and we're waiting for each other to finish our sentences before we interrupt. Not that there aren't a few conversational overlaps, but that's not a bad thing. I sort of agree that you can't just, you know, pipe up in the middle of somebody's turn to talk and interrupt them and, you know, start shouting at them. That's not cool.
Exactly. But you know what?
Nancy, you're shaking your head. And you know what I'm going to do in my very civilized way is give you the floor.
Well, I was going to do it the way the British Parliament does it and just talk over
it. Oh, okay. All right. Well, the presidential candidates are doing that these days, but I'm not in favor of that method.
Not quite to that level, but I think that sometimes democracy is messy, and it can't always be run by Robert's Rules of Order.
Yeah, you mentioned the word parliamentarian at one point when you were talking, and I meant to come back to that. What did you mean when you said, you know, it's a much more parliamentarian system?
Well, it seems like there's more of a focus on running the meetings by Robert's Rules of Order, in that they, you know, there is a time limit given to, like, discussion of
mm-hmm,
things.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, a lot of times those time limits are not kept, or they discuss things that they deem more important at a longer period of time than other topics that come before them. So there are things that indicate to me that even though they want to run it by Robert's Rules of Order, they're not really totally following their protocol, whether it was during the trial period or whether it's now subsequent to that. They have responded to people mm-hmm. during the trial period when, you know, when there was certainly the expectation that they'll direct the city manager to look into certain issues that are brought up and then come back the following meeting and speak for city council on, you know, what's going to be done about something. So they haven't really followed their own strictures. And that's kind of concerning to me, because you expect that you want people that are coming to you to respect the policy and follow the protocol, but yet, conversely, you know, there's an expectation that they'll follow their own.
Well, if you make the rules, maybe you ought to follow the rules. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was brought up to understand.
But I think maybe the bigger problem is we don't like the rules they made.
And that is I think, in a nutshell. You know, it's up to the discretion of the mayor if somebody can respond back to someone during public comment.
Are you basically saying that you feel like the mayor has seized too much executive power over those meetings?
In my opinion, I would say yes, more so than because I've only seen been aware of like two different mayors in the city.
Right.
I know Mary has been around quite a few more.
Well, what would you say to them, Mary? You're sort of making faces at me over there.
I agree with Nancy, because it seems like the former mayor Hoosier, he used to let say, for instance, Nancy had one more question and mm-hmm. and a little beep came on, and she would said, "Well, can I finish this? Oh, I got one more sentence."
Mm-hmm.
And he would say, "Make it quick."
Right.
But Signal would say, "No, your time is up. No." What difference would it make for a couple of more seconds to just finish off what you came there to present to them?
Well,
they're not going to respond to you anyway, so why not listen? So I think that a lot of counselors would like to respond to people, but Mayor Signal wouldn't even ask them.
Well, but the city council voted these new rules in, didn't they?
I think they did it. I'm not even going to say.
I don't know if that's true that the majority of the city council would like the rules to be different, because if they would, I think they'd be different.
I think that's why Mr. Fenwick was sanctioned or whatever because he didn't agree with it. I don't think Ms. Sakos did either, but she came up with some kind of solution to nine people and like, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think in order to get back popular with the people, I don't think they will, this council will, but in order to get back popular with the people, they need to just cut that lottery out and put it back, put things back the way it was.
Well, let's actually spend just a few minutes on that. We got a few minutes left in this show, and I want to ask you folks, how would you restructure this? If you're saying, we don't like what you're doing, we don't like city council, the way you've changed these rules, what kind of structure do you think is appropriate? Do you think there should be any structure?
Well, I would prefer that to go back to a sign up. If the problem was that people had to get there earlier and earlier to be able to wait in line to sign a sign up sheet to make a public comment, perhaps it's an issue of access to council chambers. Perhaps look at not having council chambers available for the public until 15 minutes before the meeting.
Okay.
Because I think that was one of the problems that...
And people would just line up in the hall?
Well, or even just access to the building in general. I mean, I went to...
Well, that doesn't really solve anything. You got a bunch of people standing out in the cold.
Well, okay. Well, we have to think about that. If you could be standing in the hallway waiting to go in your little groups. I mean, if that's a problem. But there are some counties, surrounding counties, that have no sign-up procedure. If you want to talk, they say, line up over here in front of the microphone, and they just... First 10 or whatever, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, they just, it's done. Mm-hmm. They don't really worry about, do you sign up?
Okay.
And perhaps.
Is that really the prize? Is the sign up really the major problem here? I mean, because what strikes me is.
I'm sorry if I'm speaking over you, but mm-hmm. No, okay. That they're looking at efficiency over democracy.
Tell me, that strikes me as probably something that efficiency is probably a major concern for them, a major motivating factor in adopting these changes.
I think so, but sometimes democracy can't be efficient. Democracy is messy, it's unruly.
Well, the most efficient is dictatorship. That's very efficient.
Well, okay, you may... I won't go that far.
There are other problems with it, but it's efficient.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's necessarily, you know, efficient. I think that you are... people are like what Mary was saying, they're just feeling, why come down? Mm-hmm. Why do that? You know, you can, sure, there are lots of ways you can engage your government, your boards, your commissions, but ultimately it's the city council that looks at a lot of these recommendations and decides.
An educated, informed, and active public is a pain in the patootie for those who are governing.
And the city council needs to get a little... They need to lighten up a little bit because the mayor is just stiff. I mean, it's just that he's got to understand that this community of Charlottesville, Virginia, is so many different types of people here.
Mm-hmm.
You got poor people, rich people, in between people, middle class people, all sorts of races here. And when you come into a city council meeting and you express yourself and pour your heart out to them, and then they're going to say, okay, thank you. Now, let's go to the next item on the agenda. You're sitting there. Where is my answer?
Right.
And the city manager got so much to do, he might come back the next meeting and you might have 10 people that spoke. He might give two reasons why he answered two people.
Right.
But sometimes that sign-up list might have like three people on it and nine blanks.
Right.
But the regular sign-up list, the way it used to be, you could go in there and it was blank. And by the time all the counselors and the mayor sat down, you have 12 names.
We have a fairly well-educated and well-organized community here, which includes people who are poor.
Exactly.
And that's... probably somewhat difficult for the governing body to deal with in some ways. It has its own challenges because everybody's not going along to get along.
Well, the poor people actually have more input in this community far as keeping it going.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the rich people or the middle class people might have a little more monetary value in this community, but the poor people are being affected by this council more so than anybody else in this community by these hotels trying to get in here and turn up their communities. So I think when they go to council to speak, council needs to respond.
I think maybe the issue is that the poor are a little more vocal here than they are in some places, and maybe the problem that's being raised here is that the changes are squelching some of that voice.
Probably. But it needs to be it needs to be attended to by everybody. And well, I think everybody's bonding together now, because regardless of whether you're rich, poor, or whatever, they do not like the way this council is conducting themselves.
So to sort of return to the question I asked just a couple minutes ago about how would you do this differently? What changes would you make? It sounds like we don't like the sign-up procedure. We don't like the sort of internet access, you must sign up online ahead of time. It sounds like we don't like the sort of hard time limit, 3 minutes and that's it. When it's over, you don't get to say another word.
Mm-hmm.
And what we want is for the counselors to respond a little bit, be a little more human with their constituents when they come talk to them.
I think we need to go back to the regular procedure. Just come in, sign up, let the council respond.
Mm-hmm.
Let the people understand that they voted for someone to give their opinion back to them.
Mm-hmm.
Let us understand what they think.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of letting Mr. Jones do all the work, the man got enough to do.
Now, Jones is what?
He's a city manager.
And how does he figure into the structure?
He figures in it because Mayor Signa wanted him to figure in it.
Uh-huh.
And he has enough to do.
He's the person who says something now.
He's the only one that says give a response, but you got to wait until the next city council meeting. He doesn't.
And then
he
answers you.
And he may do
with
one
voice. That's in order to prevent it from looking like everybody disagrees.
Right, maybe so. But he only do one person or two people, and you may have 9 or 10 that spoke.
Right.
So he pick out the ones that he feels, or whether the council feels, because I'm sure they have a meeting to pick out who he gonna say.
Right.
At the next meeting, who to respond to. But it should go back to the way it was.
All right. Any final comments from you, Nancy?
No, I think it's been a great discussion. I hope we can keep this going, because it is an issue, because we have seen a decrease, I think, in the number of people who are accessing city council through public comments in the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm. No,
if you look at the minutes and you look at the video, looking just at public comment, the first session, not at the public hearing or the second session, you'll see that a lot of people are getting frustrated and not coming. And it's not necessarily the quote and unquote usual suspects. It's people in general.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Nancy Carpenter. Thank you, Mary Carey.
Thank you.
We appreciate you being here today. You are listening to 94.7 WPVC-FM, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. You have been listening to Straight Talk, a local program dealing with law and social justice issues, produced right here in Charlottesville by our very own Ben Chambers. Tune in next Saturday at 10 a.m. We're going to have Dahlia Lithwick of Slate Magazine on to talk about all the oh-so-civil presidential election campaign that we've been having. I'm Andre Hake, signing off for Straight Talk. Have a great weekend, y'all.
This has been Straight Talk with your host, Andre Hayes, brought to you by Tucker Griffin Barnes. Production is from Olivia August, engineering, Mike Friend. Be sure and listen again next Saturday morning at 10 o'clock for Straight Talk on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.